Well, it's good to be here today, and I suppose Lindsay's never been so appreciated by me anyway. And it's sometimes when people are away that you appreciate what they do. So, I hope you're not fed up with the sound of my voice by now, but you've only got a little bit to go, so if you hang on in there, then we'll get through it. Today, I'd like to read from Acts chapter 14. That's Acts chapter 14 and verse 8. So we'll start off the service by reading from that. And it's also going to be up on the screen there behind me. And it says in verse 8, "In Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, 'Stand up on your feet.' At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, 'The gods have come down to us in human form.' Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, 'Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy.' Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews from Antioch and Iconium came and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered round him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe." And we trust that God would bless us as we read his word and also look at what it means and study it today. And I've got a few wee pictures just up that will come up in a wee moment. And I think I've got the wee clicker here as well. And I don't know what you were struck by most in that passage there. But the thing that really came to my mind when I read it a few weeks back was about how this crowd could one minute be treating Paul and Barnabas as if they thought they were gods and idolising them in effect, and then the next minute they're taking Paul outside of the city to stone him to death. It's unbelievable the turnaround there, and it was all just so quickly that happened. And I was thinking about how quickly people can turn on folks, and how if you're relying on public opinion it can totally go the other way and people can think the total opposite about you. And I was thinking of some examples that we would recognise. A few days ago, everyone was interested in what Andy Murray was doing. I heard an interview where the guy was asking what he'd had for breakfast, pretty much, you know. And now, after he's lost his match at Wimbledon and he's not going to be in the final, he's not getting the same level of attention. And the media just aren't as interested in him as they were, just because he's went out of Wimbledon. And definitely sports are area where you can see people go from thinking someone's great to thinking they're not very good. In football, you can see a player could score a goal one week and the crowd could think he's amazing. The next week he could miss a penalty and they could lose the match and they would think all sorts of bad things about him and think he was rubbish, which maybe isn't right, but that seems to be what happens. We've got many TV shows in this country. I don't know if you watch them or not, but I'm sure you'll have heard about them. And lots of people want to go on them and become famous and maybe win them even. And for so many of them, they get turned away after their first audition and get told they're not good enough. But even those who get through to the finals and they get people to vote for them on the phones, so quickly people will forget them. If they go out the next week, people might remember them, but a few months down the line, they won't be remembered very much, and certainly in a few years people sometimes can't remember who won the show, which is perhaps very bad, but that's just the way it seems to work out. an example of people's opinions changing has definitely been seen with the MPs who were involved in that expenses scandal, and certainly there's a lot of people who they really think badly of them because of what they've done. And we've heard all about the Duck Islands and the moats getting cleaned and such like, and the people that have been involved in them, and even just folks who have been claiming less outrageous things but claiming it wrongly, they've been viewed very badly by the public, and some of them have had to resign, and others have had to say that they'll be stepping down at the next election, because people have just totally taken a dive in people's estimations. And you could argue that those folks that have said they're not going to stand at the election, they're jumping before they've been pushed, and that certainly could be the case. But it's definitely a good example of how people have gone from perhaps being thought of as being decent to being totally thought of being in a negative way, and people disliking them quite strongly for it. But I'd like to look at what we can learn from this passage. We've definitely seen a case there of a crowd turning on someone, and in a short space of time, definitely. And we have to look at who these men were, Paul and Barnabas. Paul was a man who was, in his younger days, very religious. He was very, very passionate about that, and he was very devoted to being a Jew, firstly, and also being a Pharisee, who were a very strict sect of the Jews. And in fact, he would go about and he would persecute Christians, and he would do it with a real passion and a zeal. He obviously thought he was doing the right thing to do that. And in fact, when the first Christian was killed for their faith, Stephen, Paul stood on approving of it, and he was totally for what was happening, and he even got authority from the high priest to go to Damascus, which was in a totally different country, really, to go bring the Christians there back to Jerusalem in chains to face punishment. But on the way to Damascus, he had an incredible experience where the Lord Jesus appeared to him, and Paul's life was changed forever from that moment onward. He was never the same person again, and we can imagine what sort of a shock the folks who'd invited him to Damascus to arrest the Christians there would get when not only did Paul turn up and he wasn't going to arrest them, but he became a Christian. They must have been absolutely stunned at that. And it was an incredible change that happened in his life. Barnabas was another man who was a Christian at that time, and he worked closely with Paul. We read in the New Testament that Barnabas was from Cyprus, and they sold a field that he owned. And in the early days of the church, he brought the money that he'd earned from selling that field to provide for the other believers' needs, which was a really good thing of him to do, and showed how committed he was. And he was well thought of in the church, and we were thinking at the Bible study on Tuesday about how it said about him in the scriptures that he was a good man, and we were thinking about how few people could claim to have that written about themselves, and how it was such a good thing to have said about you, and definitely something we would all have liked to have been said about us if we were about at that time. But Paul and Barnabas, they were actively involved in teaching the church, and they were actively involved in going around and trying to tell people about how they could become a Christian, how they could have their sins forgiven through trusting in the Lord Jesus. And here they came to this town called Lystra, and they were doing that there when this amazing miracle took place. And the reason it did occur was to show that God was with them, and God showed this by using his power to make this man walk who had never done so before. And the people were rightly amazed at what they'd seen. However, they didn't stand back and ask Paul and Barnabas what they'd done, what they were teaching, and what they were bringing before them, and in whose name this miracle had been done. The people just rushed to fit the miracle into what they believed, which was all the Greek mythology with the Greek gods, with Zeus and Hermes that we were learning about. So they rushed, and they missed out on hearing the message that could have benefited them so much. And not only did they try and proclaim Paul and Barnabas to be gods, which was totally wrong, and they didn't claim to be, and we've seen that they really vigorously denied that, quite obviously. The crowd were so easily influenced by this group of Jews that came in, and before you knew it, they were trying to kill Paul by stoning him to death, and it's just a very brutal way of trying to kill someone, and they definitely did their best to do it. And I would imagine that most people who do get stoned would die, but perhaps the second miracle here is that Paul survived this attack, and that God was definitely with him and helped him to survive that. And also, Paul and Barnabas continued on. They didn't give up because of this discouragement. I'm sure many people would have, but they were able to continue on and moved on to the next town to continue what God wanted them to do. And they did that faithfully, and there's a lesson for all of us in perseverance there, to keep on doing what God wants us to do, despite what discouragement we might get. But as I was reading this passage, it reminded me of a similar situation that the Lord Jesus was in when he was on the earth. And he went round Israel teaching the people and telling them about the kingdom of God and telling them about himself. Because as we were thinking about this morning, the scriptures had foretold, there have been many prophecies to tell of the coming of the Lord Jesus, and he was the Son of God. He came to this earth to die for our sins, and he lived a perfect life free from sin, which no one else has ever done or will ever do. And he went about teaching the people and doing many miracles, similar to the one that we've seen in the passage today, but many ones that we would maybe say were more impressive and more incredible from our point of view. But he taught the people, and here he eventually came to enter Jerusalem in the third year of his ministry. We would call it Palm Sunday, but what happened was he entered Jerusalem, and the crowd shouted out various things. If I've got them here. And they shouted out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they also shouted out, "Blessed is the King of Israel." And that was incredible. They recognised that Jesus was special and that he wasn't like anyone else. But unfortunately, within a short space of time, the crowd and the people had turned on the Lord Jesus in just the space of a week. Not as soon as we'd seen in the passage in Acts, but still quite a short space of time to totally change your opinion on someone. And the Lord Jesus was arrested, the high priest and everyone, they wanted the Lord Jesus dead. They just didn't understand who he was or didn't want to understand. And they had him arrested and put on trial. And the Lord Jesus was brought before Pilate, the Roman governor, the only person who had the authority to sentence anyone to death. And he found him not guilty, but he didn't feel able to set him free. And he tried to set him free and gave the people a choice between the Lord Jesus and a known criminal, someone who was guilty. And the crowd called out that they wanted the guilty man to go free and that they wanted the Lord Jesus to die. And it's just incredible to think of that turnaround in less than a week of the crowd totally changing their minds on the Lord Jesus. One minute he was a king, a few days later they wanted him to die on the cross. But the good news for us is that the Lord Jesus did die on the cross for our sins. It was foretold in the scriptures, like I was saying, that the Lord Jesus would come to the earth, and it was also foretold that he would live that perfect life and die for everyone, and he would be able to be the perfect sacrifice, as we were thinking about at our morning meeting. He would be the perfect sacrifice for sin, and that all we need to do is put our trust in him, and we can have our sins forgiven. And the other part of the story that is unique is that the Lord Jesus rose from the grave, and that shows how special he is. He wasn't the same as many other people who gathered a following. The Lord Jesus rose from the grave like he said he would, and that proved that he was who he claimed to be, and that God had sent him, and that he was God's son. And we too today, if we trust in the Lord Jesus, we can look to the fact that he rose from the grave, and we can look to his promises, that he's promised eternal life to all those who trust in him and have had their sins forgiven and believe in his name. and been saved, and we can look forward to going to be in heaven with him. And it's an incredible thought. And if you haven't taken that step, I would urge you to take it, because there is no greater promise out there for you than the promise that the Lord Jesus gives to those who trust in him. And I thought of this verse here in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 24 to 27. I'll just read it out just now. And it says, "Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And here it's the Lord Jesus saying this, and he's basically saying, if you trust in me, you'll be trusting in something that will last. It'll be like a house that's built on a solid rock that won't fall down when tough times come, when hardship comes, when anything comes along, it will stay strong. And that is true. Here today there are many people who would testify to that, that if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, you won't be disappointed, and that you can look forward to, as we were saying, a home in heaven when this life ends. And it's a promise, and it's a faith that will last beyond this life. It's not just a faith to trust in just now and to get all the things that you want. It's a faith that will last beyond this life into all eternity. But on the other hand, here we have this contrasted to someone who's built their house on sand. And I'm sure we've all heard it said that it's easier to dig into sand than into solid rock, and it's a lot easier to do so, but it won't last when hardship comes, when troubles come. And we think about all the things we looked at earlier, sport, you could spend your whole life following a certain team or a certain sport, and you could be disappointed in the end up. And with pursuing fame or fortune, the same again, or even if you wanted to follow a particular political party, you'd be disappointed in that as well. And you would find soon enough that people would let you down, and that if you do build your life, or build your house, as it says in the passage on that, then it will fall down eventually. But I would urge you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, and to, if you have already, to keep following on him and reading his teaching and putting it into practice, as it says in this passage. And at this point, we do have to mention about how there is a place called hell. And we don't like to tell people about it particularly sometimes, and we really do need to mention it to them. We need to be honest with people that hell is a real place, and that if you haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus, then you will be going there, sadly. But the good news today is, for everyone listening, is that you can put your trust in the Lord Jesus, and you can be saved from that lost eternity in hell, and that you can look forward, even better, not just avoiding hell, but going to heaven, which is an amazing thought. And it's amazing that the Lord Jesus did die for us on the cross, so that that could be the case. But just some last thoughts about the crowd. And it's always good to learn from other people's mistakes, and it's always less painful learning from someone else's mistakes so that you don't make it yourself. First of all, we need to be very careful if we find ourselves in a crowd. It can be dangerous in that people can influence you to go along with them and to do what they want you to do, when if you were by yourself, you would never do that sort of thing, and you would never go down that line. And lots of people over the years have found that they've done something that they regret, and they wish they could take it back, but because they were influenced by a crowd, they went along with it, and they do regret it, and there's nothing they can do about it. And we've certainly seen that with the crowd in the passage. I'm sure there'd be many folk there that day who would look back on it with a bit of shame to think, hang on a minute, how did we possibly think these two innocent men were gods, in effect, in human form? And how on earth did we wind up going from that conclusion to stoning them to death, or trying to stone one of them to death? I'm sure they would really regret it. And there's a verse in Exodus chapter 23, verse 2, and it says, "Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong." And it's very good advice. It's very easy to follow a crowd in doing the wrong thing and just going with the flow, as they say. And the other thing the crowd did was they tried to fit the miracle into their worldview. They tried to fit what God had done with his power into their stories about Zeus and all the rest of the ancient Greek gods, which was the wrong thing. It wasn't anything to do with their mythology. It was totally to do with God's power, that this man had been healed. And the crowd didn't listen to what was said by Paul and Barnabas. They just rushed to their own conclusions. And it's important that today people read the Bible and then they defend its integrity and they don't try and fit it into the latest ideas that we've came up today and the latest theories that we have, just like it was wrong for the crowd that day to try and fit that miracle into the ancient Greek gods theory and into that. It would be wrong of us today to compromise what is in the Bible and the teaching in the Bible with today's society, which would be so easy to do nowadays. The other thing that the crowd did was, quite obviously, they didn't listen to Paul and Barnabas. And it's sad today that many people would not listen to the gospel, the good news about how they can follow the Lord Jesus, and that they can be looking forward to a home in heaven, which is amazing. And they can have their sins forgiven. We were singing a song this morning about how your sin can be as crimson, as red as crimson, but you can be made as white as, or whiter than the snow. And it's an incredible thought that that can be the case through what the Lord Jesus did for us. But I would urge you today not to be like the crowd. If you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus, it's very easy for other folk to influence you to not listen to it. And it is very easy for that to happen. Family and friends and worrying about what they would think can hold people back. But it is your decision to make, and it's important that you make your own decision. And it's the same with if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus, you need to listen to what God says in his word, the Bible. And it's important for us all to keep reading the Bible and putting it into practice and seeking to do that every day. And if we do that, we'll become more and more like the people that the Lord would want us to be like, which is a great thought. And we think about the power that he has to change that man's life who was a cripple. He has just as much power to work in our lives. And it's encouraging to think about that today. And he'll do it if only we'll let him work in our lives. And I'd like to just close in prayer just now. Father God, we thank you that this man and that we read about in the passage was able to have his life changed, that he was able to be healed. And Father, we thank you for the many good things that you did through Paul and Barnabas, and that you showed through your power that what they were saying was the right thing, and that they were preaching the Lord Jesus, and that that was the right thing for the people that day to do, to trust in him. Father, we thank you that we here today can come and read from the Bible. We think about how in years gone by it wasn't as easy as this to meet in public and to preach your word. But Father, we thank you that we've been able to. Father, we'd ask if anyone's thinking about any of the matters that have been said, that they would think about it even more, and that they'd be able to let you work in their lives. And Father, we would all ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.